Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to be reading starting at verse 9. Isaiah 55, verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please,
Amen.
And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth."
Amen.
So shall my word be. I want to talk about God's word this morning because God is giving us an example of how His word is and what it shall be. He says, "So shall my word be." He compares it to the rain, and that it just is free-flowing and goes all over the world and accomplishes great things. I want to talk about His Word because a whole lot of people don't understand just how important His Word is. They don't understand how important His Word has been in their lives. Even people who don't believe the Word of God have been blessed by it, have been filled up by it and given abundance by it. God's Word, in the first place, is blessing. God's Word is a blessing. God didn't have to speak to us. God didn't have to come to us. In the first place, God's Word is a blessing. In the second place, God's Word is salvation. It's salvation, and you cannot get saved any other way but by faith in His Word. And number three, God's Word is final. So I want to talk about His Word this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I want to ask You to bless Your words this morning, all the way to the heart. What we cannot reach, You can, by Your Spirit. You can carry Your words all the way to someone's heart. And if there's someone here that does not know You as Savior, I ask You to have mercy and speak by Your Holy Spirit into that person and have Your word do its work in that heart. And I ask You these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, God's word is blessing. Now, I realize that if you're a Christian and you make a habit of reading the Bible, you get blessings from it. I mean, if you read the Psalms in the morning, you get blessings from it. If you read the promises, you get blessings from it. Sometimes you get a little bit of counsel, a little bit of wisdom. But I want to go a little bit farther and say, God's Word is the blessing of this earth, of this world. And let me remind you that by the Word of God, the heavens were of old. That it was by the Word of God that the heavens exist. And what God says over there when He was creating, He said, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And someone will say, you see how it's all allegorical? You see how it's just, you know, symbolical? And you can't take it literally? No, no. Literally. God said it. In fact, they can prove it. You know what they call now what keeps the world together and what holds creation together? You know what they call that? They call it laws. And you know why they call it laws? Because that's what it is. It's simply an instruction. It is simply an instruction given by the Creator saying this is how it's going to be done. Exactly like Adam was talking about programming this morning. He was saying, you know, you give instructions to a program and the computer does those instructions. That's exactly what happens here. The reason why gravity works? Because of a law. You know what they call it? The law of gravity. That's what they call it. Because it's a law. And that's the reason why it happens. God spoke it into existence. Did you know that you exist by the Word of God?
Amen.
Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We exist by the Word of God. I find it amazing that they have reduced creation to a series of laws. Simple instructions that have been so perfectly well-tuned that they create this. What you see. It's laws. It's God's instructions. It's information that God says, this is how it's going to be done. And it happens exactly according to His Word. You have not yet realized how much His Word has influenced you. The world has not yet understood how God's Word has blessed them. You have to really do some studies and not just believe the nonsense that goes around. You have to do the studies of this world's history and how it has been blessed by God's Word. You realize that the ancient Jews, when given the revelation of God as it was coming down, the ancient Jews were called the people of the book. Because God gave some words, and these words were so treasured that they actually began to teach their children, all of their children, an entire nation would teach their children how to read. Yes, even before they got grown. So that we had an entire nation that was literate.
Yes, amen.
I want you to know, nations were not literate back in the day. They didn't teach their children how to read. They taught them how to use a plow. They taught them how to, you know, have a trade. In fact, it's clearly provable by history that literacy and the education of the young comes from God's Word. That God gave a nation an interest in the written Word so that people began to study and knew how to read. They called them the people of the book, and they were the ones who developed the book. Did you know that God's Word is how the book itself came into being? It's all of the innovations of printing and publishing have come about through the connection of the Word of God. That is the Bible. When I'm saying the Word of God, I'm talking about this book. The Word of God, the Bible. Now we have it all now in one nice little book. Back in the day, they didn't write. There are no Akkadian books. There are no Sumerian books. You know what they used to do when they did have something that they needed to write? The few people who knew how to write would write it on clay tablets, or they would chisel it into stone. But you have people who were so interested in God's Word, that they would put together animal skins and roll them up together so that they could have huge amounts of writing in one volume. So that it's an amazing thing. It caused an entire industry, the written Word. An entire industry. And this all came about because of what God did. He says, I'm going to give you my Word. And here's His Word, and He gives it, and people want to copy it, and people want to read it. And after a while, everybody starts picking up on that. And then they develop papyrus, and then they develop industrially made hydraulic paper mills that make paper, and the paper's all exactly the same size and exactly the same thickness. So then they develop, you know, a printing press, And my goodness, what has happened? What has happened? You know why all these innovations came about? Because of this book. God's Word. Now, I find that amazing. I find it amazing that because of the printing press and the ensuing glut of knowledge that we have found ourselves incredibly prosperous. And make no mistake, the reason why you're prosperous is because of God's Word. You'd think people would honor that word more. Amen. They just knew what they have because of His Word. Prosperity comes from knowledge. And this knowledge comes from the effusion of knowledge that came about because of the printing press, and the printing press that came about because of God's Word. And all of these things are beholden to God for His Word. God's Word is blessing. He says it's like rain. He says He sends the rain out and it just goes onto the earth. Did anybody get any rain this week? You got some rain, and I mean, it's going to be good. I mean, of course, we could use it a little bit more, you know, more sporadic, you know, maybe not all at once, but I'm glad we got it even that much all at once, even though it flooded my entire front porch. That's fine. You know, I'll scrape out the mud later. But what, you know, I got news for you. God says, I give this rain, I give this, and He says, my Word is like that. So shall my Word be. I'm going to give it out. It's going to be so abundant. It's going to be out there. And it's going to be a blessing to all. And people all over the world are being blessed by God's Word. You know, it's amazing how God's Word gave us such knowledge. such an understanding, such wisdom. It taught us about government. Did you know almost all the world agrees with certain principles that are only found in God's Word? You know, there's a doctrine in the Bible called the image of God. And that is that people are made in the image of God. And you know what that tells us? That all people are made in the image of God, that we're all equal. And you'll find out almost everybody in the world will say, yeah, it's true. It's true. There's no such thing as nobility, and some people are inherently better than other people anymore. But that's not what they used to believe. That's not the way it used to be. No, I'll tell you what, how that happened. It's because of the Word. The whole world has been blessed by God's Word. The whole world is reaping the benefits of God's Word. There are so many things. You know what the Bible says in Psalms chapter 2? He says, be wise, O ye kings. Be instructed. You know why? Because God's told you how to govern. God's told you how to make a government. God's told you what a government is. Do you know what in the Bible they call the kings? The servants of the people. Find that in ancient China. You don't find it in ancient China. You don't find that in ancient Samaria. And you don't find that in ancient Acadia, Chaldea. Kings weren't the servants of the people, but in the Bible they are. Be wise, O ye kings. Be instructed. Learn a little bit. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way. You need to be wise. You need to govern according to God's Word. Did you know that our nation needs to govern according to God's Word? Why? Because this Word is the blessing. This Word is God's blessing. Amen. His knowledge that He has given us is His blessing. This wisdom, this counsel that He has given us is His blessing. Do you know how God would bless a nation if they would just follow the principles in His Word?
Amen.
It's not by force. He says, be wise, O ye kings. Do you realize how our nation would be blessed if we would follow the principles that are found in His Word? Do you know how your family would be blessed if you would follow the principles in His Word? Do you realize how your business would be blessed if you'd follow the principles in His Word for you to do a business? Do you realize how your life would be blessed if you would just follow God's principles? You say, well, I believe in the principles of reason, and I don't see any reason why I can't live this way. Well, how about just a blessing? How about if God gives you the blessing and, you know, pulls you aside and gives you a little bit of counsel and says, you know, that's not the way you should walk. Try walking a different way over here. And you say, I will not hear.
Right.
And a whole lot of people have said that.
Right.
I will not listen. God says, I'm giving you a blessing. Huh? I'm not forcing you. Don't you think that's amazing that God's not forcing you to do what He says?
Amen.
I find that amazing. I find it amazing that God, who is sovereign, can do anything He wants, and this is His world. He does anything He wants, but He says, let me give you some advice. I'm going to give you a Bible. And if you'll follow it, you'll prosper. You'll be blessed. It's going to be a wonderful blessing. Just listen to my Word. Just stick your nose in the book and find out some big good things. You'll find out it'll bless you. It'll do you good. You know something? The Bible would tell you what about pornography. The Bible would tell you what about drunkenness. The Bible will explain to you the problems with marijuana.
Amen.
Yeah, the Bible will explain to you the problem with homosexuality. Talk about homosexual marriage? Ask God. What does God think about that? You don't have to be all, you know, we're better than you. Just, hey, why don't you just be wise? You say, well, you know, I feel this way, and this is the way I feel, and this is the way I was born, or whatever. Why don't you just listen to God? Give God a chance to bless your life. You need to hear His Word. The Bible says you need to prove it. That means put it to the test.
Amen.
Or maybe give it a try.
Right, amen.
Just try it. You say, well, what about my business? Just try God's way. Operate your business God's way. There's a whole lot of businesses right now that aren't operating God's way. They're doing everything sneaky. They're doing everything. You know, have you ever noticed that advertisements are just never really truthful? Why don't they do things God's way? You know what has happened? Nobody believes advertisements, or I should say, dummies believe advertisements. The truth is, you're a sucker if you just believe what the advertisement says. Just believe any old thing the used car salesman tells you, and you're a sucker. All right. Try God's way. Trust it. Live by it. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to live by His Word. He wants you to take His Word and live according to those principles. It's a life thing. It's a life decision where you say, I will live according to the Bible. If you do that, some people will think you're foolish. And you can laugh all the way to heaven. Let me tell you something. The truth is, people will think you're foolish if you follow God's way, just because it's God's way. But God says, my word is a blessing.
Amen.
It's like rain. You like rain, don't you? I mean, farmers like rain.
Amen.
Voters like rain.
Amen.
We want the lakes to be full. The truth is, rain is a good blessing. And God says, so shall my word be. Wherever it goes, it's going to bless. Wherever it goes, it's going to fill. Wherever it goes, you're going to prosper. Wherever my word goes and people hear it and try it and live by it, they're going to prosper and they're going to be blessed. And I'm not talking about just being rich. I'm talking about thy soul prospering, just like your economy prospers. Your government will prosper. Your freedom, your mind will prosper. Everything prospers when they pay attention to God's word. Our government would prosper if they'd pay attention to God's word.
Amen.
But it's not just a blessing. His word is salvation.
Amen.
Did you know His word is what began to teach people way back when not to bow down to the hosts of heaven? It was God's word that said, the Son is not a God.
Yes.
You know, we actually had forebears, ancestors, that believed the Son was a God. Now, it's not. And we know it's not. And what kind of God is it that is forced to do the same thing every day? Every single day does exactly the same thing. That sounds much more like a slave than a God. But our ancestors thought it was a God. And they worshipped it. And God's word came and said, do not worship the sun. Do not worship the moon. Do not worship the stars, nor any of the hosts of heaven. Do not bow down to any of these things. Make no images of these things. And you know what happened? Freedom. People were free from their superstition. They began to be able to see a God that was invisible. And it's the faith in God's word that has resulted in their salvation. Why? Because they believe in that invisible God. The Bible tells you God is invisible. And if you're going to come to Him, you've got to come by faith. And if you are bowing down to the sun and the moon and the stars and all these other little things, and even degenerates down to bowing down to little snakes and stuff. And if you do that, well, then you don't get salvation. But if you will see that God is an invisible God and that you can come to Him by faith and you can pray to Him even though you can't see Him, well, then you arrive at salvation. The reason why is because God's Word is salvation. You know what He says? He said, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you'll ask what you will. You realize that God says that it's by His Word that He's going to save. It's by His promise. Realize what the Bible says. We are children of the promise. God has made promises. And I'm going to warn you, there is no salvation outside of the promises of God.
Amen.
It's what God has said that matters. And people, there's a lot of people who think it depends upon how they feel. And that's a shame. Because it's not about how you feel.
Amen.
God doesn't want you to feel saved. He wants you to be saved.
Amen.
He wants you to have that salvation. And that salvation is not a feeling and it's not an imagination. You know what salvation is? It's a promise.
Amen.
It's God says, this is what I will do. And everybody who has salvation, and there are millions in the world that have salvation, millions, God saving millions. The reason why is because they've believed a promise. And the promise is written down. And I feel sorry for all those folks who think just going to church and feeling good is good enough. Because they can't take their finger and point to a verse in the Scripture and say, God, You said this.
Amen.
And if you can't do that, if you can't say to God, God, You said this and that's what I believe, and that's what I trust, then you haven't known salvation yet. You haven't known, because that's what faith is. It's faith in His promise. You can't just believe anything you want. You got to believe what He actually said.
Amen.
And that's what salvation is. It's believing what He said. For example, over there in John chapter 5. I'm going to actually turn to it because I will quote it wrong. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Turn a page. Hear the promises. Listen to these promises. Verse 37, John 6, 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
Look down a little bit. Look at verse 39. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Turn a couple more pages over. Look at John chapter 10. Look at verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. These are promises. This is what we depend upon to say we're saved. You know, I can tell you, I'm saved. I'm right with God. God has forgiven me. God has given me eternal life. And someone might say, you're crazy. But I'm not crazy. I'm trusting His Word. I can take my finger and point to the promise. I just told you how to go to it, and you actually could have read it right along with me in your Bible. That's what He said. Whosoever. He said, whosoever. If whosoever believeth in me, yet though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You realize that salvation comes from His Word? It has to do with His promise. It has to do with His actual statements. How many people are trusting in a feeling? They'll do a good work and feel good. They'll say, I helped out a poor person. I gave of my good money and helped out a good person. I know many people like this. They live and they do good things, and because they feel good about doing good things, they feel like God's on their side and will probably save them. But that's not what it's about. There is no salvation in good works.
All right.
There is no salvation in doing a nice thing for somebody. The only salvation that there is in what God said. You know the difference between Cain and Abel? God's Word. Abel gave the sacrifice that God commanded. And Cain did not. Cain had a really good idea. Man, he had a good idea. He says, you know, I'm really not a rancher. I'm a farmer. I don't have any sheep. I know God killed a couple of lambs to cover my parents, and I know He's taught us how to do this, but I don't have any sheep. But aren't we all equal? Don't we all have our own rights? I mean, don't I have a right to offer God what I have? I'm a really good farmer. You want to see my lettuce? You want to see my corn? You want to see? I got some good stuff. I'm going to offer it to God. And God did not accept Cain's sacrifice. Why? It was not according to His Word. And that's the only reason why. He says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Sure. If you'll do what I said, I'll accept you too. But you have to do what I said. You know how many people today are bringing God their own sacrifice? They're offering God something of their own imagination. They're saying, God, take into account that I've done this and take into account that. And some of them think, you know, I've got a religion. I go to church. I tithe. I do this or I do that other thing, or I feel good about myself. I pray. I had a lady come bring me into her house. Come on in, I want to show you. She brought me all the way into her house, showed me a room. The half of the room was filled with statues of St. Jude of the Lost Causes. She says, I'm very devoted to St. Jude. And I asked her, are you saved? Well, no. You're not saved. All of that is meaningless. All you're doing is making up stuff. Or somebody's told you something and deceived you. Show me in the Bible. Look in the Bible. Find God's
Amen.
Word. What the Bible says is His Word is our salvation.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
One more thing. His Word is final.
Amen.
I know people are infatuated with the concept of evolution. You know, things just kind of develop over time. Kind of like a flower develops over time, right? A flower starts out and grows up and it turns, and they think that the whole world did that, and so it just evolved. And so they got the idea that God Himself is evolving. You know, that God's Word might be evolved. Have you ever heard someone say something like, oh, you know, what the Bible says about that, that's so last century. That's so old. It's ancient. You know what God says about the order in the home? We've gotten past that. This is the 90s. That's what they told me back then. This is the 90s. Now they'll say, this is the 21st century. We're past that. We've come beyond that. But I'm going to tell you something. God's Word says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Amen. It's not coming back.
Amen.
I'm not going to revise it. There's not going to be a new version.
Amen.
There's not going to be a retranslation.
Amen.
There's not going to be a retread. There's not going to be a new beginning on it. It's the same old word that He said from the beginning. That's why He says, go to the old path. Look for the old path. Go find out what they used to preach. Because that's what they're still going to be preaching.
Amen.
It's the same message. God is saying the same thing. He says, my word is final. And He had it figured out from the beginning. That's what He says over there in Isaiah 46. I'll quote it wrong, so let me read it. Isaiah 46. Look what it says in verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. My counsel shall stand.
Amen.
And I will do all my pleasure.
Amen.
God's not going to change.
Amen.
Now what does that mean for you? That means there's not going to be any compromise. God's not going to say, well, I'll tell you what, you give a little and I'll give a little. There's not going to be any negotiations. There's not going to be any accommodation. He has given His word, and that's final. That's what He's going to do. When He comes down to the end, He's going to judge us. How does He say it? I'm going to look it up because I'll quote it wrong. I'm telling you, my mind is really not working right this morning, so I'm going to quote it, and I'm going to read it. John chapter 12, look at verse 47. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The word that I spoke, that'll be the judgment. You realize that God gave you His word before the judgment and said, I'm going to judge you according to this word.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So prepare accordingly. That's what He said. He said, okay, I'll tell you what. It's like a school teacher saying, I'm going to give you a pop quiz. I'm going to give you an exam. It's going to be an exam. And here's what the exam is about. And gives you an entire list of the whole thing you need to know. And if you could go to that test and find something in that test that was not in the list of the things that the teacher told you to prepare for, then you might have a complaint. But what if every single thing on the test had to do with what she gave you to read? Well, then you've got no complaint.
Right. Amen.
And that's what God is saying. You're going to be judged by my word. It's not going to be capricious and arbitrary. When I get there, I'm just going to, you know, wing it. God says, no, I've already told you. This is what you're going to be judged by. My word. Have you read it? Do you know what God's going to judge you by? Do you know how God's going to figure things out? Do you know what God's going to decide? You say, well, I don't think what I say is wrong. I don't think what my religion tells me is wrong. I think we have it just as good. Have you compared it to what God said?
Amen.
Because God's not going to care what you think.
Amen.
And He's not going to care what the Pope said.
Amen.
He's not going to care what Buddha said. He is not going to care what Muhammad said. No offense to Buddhist, Muhammad, Catholic. No offense. He will not judge you by those 144,000 elders, which we still have 12 of them today. He won't judge you by them. He doesn't care about the 12 apostles of the Mormon religion. He doesn't care. He doesn't need any more revelation. He says, I'll judge you by that word, and it's final.
Amen.
God is not going to change His mind. He's not evolving. In fact, nothing has ever evolved. Things have been created. Things have been built in with some variability. I understand that. But things have never evolved. Nothing just happens. It's all according to His Word. I knew a fella. Got saved. Made a profession of faith. But his mom hadn't believed. His mom had already died. His mom had died in a false religion. Believing things that are not according to the Bible. Showing him what the Bible said. He realized that. But then he realized the Bible talked about hell. And he said, I cannot believe my mother went to hell. So he changed religions. He became Jehovah's Witness. Because they don't believe in hell. I tried to explain to him, you can't change God. God's not going to change. You know the error of seeking elsewhere? You realize the problem of saying, you know, God, I don't like what you said, so I'm going to seek elsewhere. I'm going to come up with something else.
Amen.
You shouldn't choose according to what you like. It has to be according to what God said. And if it's not according to what God said, it won't stand. He says, my counsel shall stand. My counsel shall stand. I'm not going to change my mind. And you know what He says to you now? Prepare accordingly. My word's a blessing.
Thank you, Lord.
My word's salvation. And my word's final. You can believe my word and be saved.
Amen.
Or you can reject my word and be lost. You get to choose. I find that amazing. I find that God's word is a blessing. I find that God's word is our salvation. And I find that God's word is final. I'm going to be judged according to it in that day. And you know what I found out? That the Bible has given me all the answers I need. He's given me the way to avoid that judgment by what Jesus Christ did on the cross, dying on the cross for my sins. And it was all explained in the Bible from the beginning. It was right there in the very first pages when they were sacrificing a lamb. When God clothed them with lamb skins. It was right there. All they had to do was open their minds, open their eyes and believe what God said. And Jesus Christ came and fulfilled all of that and paid our debt. And now I have no fear of the judgment. Why? Because I trusted in His Word. I've trusted what He said. He said He'd give me eternal life if I'd trust in Him. I'm telling you, He'll give you eternal life if you trust in Him. We're going to stand. We're going to sing number 234. If you've got something you want to speak to God about, we call it an altar. That's fine. You're welcome to come forward. If you want to speak to me, I'm at your service. If you're not sure you're saved, I would love to talk to you after this meeting. Please come and talk to me. Let's sing number